Well, good morning, everyone. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, if you will. As Andrew already said, we're going to be looking at the parable of the persistent woman today. You know why people get baptized? Because they know that there's a God who wants to have a personal relationship with them, and that if they'll obey His commands and walk in His ways, they'll get to know Him. You know, this church family is all about knowing Jesus Christ. I, as the lead pastor, I don't believe in approaching God on the basis of religion and a perfunctory spirit, a spirit that's out of responsibility and duty. I know that there's a personal relationship that awaits people on the basis of His presence. God is willing to walk with you and me. And all we need to do is walk in obedience, and the doors will open up to that personal relationship. To know Jesus and to make Him known, that's what we are all about. Jesus taught some parables in the New Testament. And I felt as we began this new year, what better way to get to know a little bit more about Jesus than to read some of His writings, to listen to some of His teachings, to hear His heart, to hear the way He thought about things. And so we've been studying a few parables, and today we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, and we're going to discover something else about God today, and I believe that it can help us in our own walk. And I just want to pause. You don't even have to close your eyes, but I want to say, dear Jesus, right now, open Your word to our hearts. Speak to us a prophetic word. Speak to us a word that's right now significant for us to hear. Lord, You know I don't want to just do another message or another sermon. I want to speak Your words to us. So give us that ability. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to us today. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen. Here goes, Luke chapter 18. Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Now, in that very first verse, we understand why Jesus is teaching this parable to His disciples. That's why I'm sharing this parable with all of us today. He says, always pray, never give up. I want you to turn to someone, and one of you say, always pray, and the other person say, never give up. That is what this parable is all about. That's the reason, the purpose that Jesus spoke this. He goes on and says, and here's the parable. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. He didn't give a rip about God. He didn't give a rip about people. He was self-centered, selfish. Everything he did was for himself. He went where he wanted to go, did what he wanted to do, said what he wanted to say. It was all about him. That's what that verse says. And there was a widow in that same town who kept coming to him with the plea. Now, if you underline in your Bible, a circle kept coming to him, because that's the persistence part of it. She continued. There was an ongoing pursuit. She was relentless. She said, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. So we don't know how long he refused, but it was for some time. It wasn't just a quick thing. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, I don't care about God, I don't care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Listen now, Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge just said. Will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? We're not told what the problem was with this woman. We do know that her husband passed away. Maybe there was a brother of the husband that passed away. Maybe he was doing something that was inappropriate and she couldn't stop him. Maybe she needed a restraining order. Maybe there was some people who were trying to take the little money that she had. She was a widow and didn't have very much, and maybe they were trying to swindle her out of her money. We don't know was the cause of the problem, what caused her to be so persistent, but we do know that there was an adversary, because she's saying, someone's out to get me. Someone's making my life miserable, and it's a little bigger than me. I can't handle it, so I've got to appeal to you. She is tenacious. She does not let go. She's like those pit bulls. I'm told that once they take a bite and they lock on, that they don't let you go. In that day, the judge, not the law, but the judge set the agenda. And anybody could come and watch the proceedings, but only those who were approved and accepted could come in before the judge. He usually had some assistants that stood out there around the table, and they would take the complaints, and they would evaluate the complaint and determine whether or not the judge would see them. And you can imagine, can't you, that people who had a lot of money probably got in to see the judge, because we just learned he doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about people, it's all about him. So he's out for a buck, just like a lot of people in this day. So it's quite possible that the only people who got to see him was really those who had a little bit of money and bribed him. Well, she didn't have any money, but she kept persistent. She went right over the head of those assistants. She went right to the judge himself. She found out where he was staying, kept knocking on that door. If you've ever worked in an office and you've had a supervisor who's over you but not your boss, sometimes it gets frustrating if your supervisor won't meet your need, and so you go over his head and appeal to the boss. And boy, it doesn't make for great relationships in the workplace with your supervisor, but she was desperate. And she says, I'm not going to mess with these assistants. I'm going to go right over there. I'm going to go to the judge himself. This woman was persistent, and that's what this parable is all about. It's all about always praying and never giving up. I don't know if it was Rodney Dangerfield or who that seems to be in my mind, but someone said, I called my father and I told him I stopped smoking. He said, you quitter? That's the only joke I have this morning, so you better make the most of it, okay? Never quit. Never quit. This woman wasn't quitting. There are some things that we should quit, though. If you've got some addictive habits, it'd be great to quit. Today can be that day. You know, we sang about freedom. I tell you, there is freedom for people who really want to be free. You know, those addictions that happen in our lives, those terminal tendencies. You know, one of the main goals of this church, and this fellowship, this family, is to deal with terminal tendencies, to break them so they don't have any power. The power that Jesus has is powerful enough to break them. Sometimes we need to continue to pursue him so that we can learn how to break those things. It doesn't always happen just with an instant touch or the magic wave of a wand. Sometimes as we learn and we grow in him, we get stronger and stronger until the power of the enemy is broken in us. Never quit. You should quit some addictions. You should quit lying. You should quit cheating. You should quit letting your mind be in neutral and just think about whatever it wants to think. There's lots of things that we should quit, but when it comes to justice, and that's what she was pursuing justice. Never quit pursuing justice. Never quit seeking to be kind. Never quit seeking to love people. Never quit on your kids. Never quit on those things that are from God and are eternal. Never quit on seeking his life. He says, all of us have life, but only a few have eternal life. There's a quality of life that you don't have to wait for till you get to heaven. There's a life that is available for you and me right now. We can't quit. We have to keep pursuing those things. Some things we do quit, but there are other things that we should never quit. Let me give you a couple of points of understanding. If you're taking notes, let me tell you, if you're committed this year to grow, and that is what we are all about this year, you're going to hear it over and over. You may hear it so much, you're going to be sick of it by the end of 2008. You're going to say, thank God 2008's over. We're going to move on to a new theme. Now, this year is all about growing in God's kingdom. That's what it's all about. Every message you hear this year is going to be about growing in God's kingdom. There is a kingdom that God wants to come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom, will it come? Your will, let it be done. And if you're serious about growing in Jesus, I'm telling you, number one in your notes, you're going to encounter some temptations to quit. Along the way, you're going to hear some thoughts that go through your mind. That's no big deal. Oh, I made a mistake. I never should have done that in the first place, so I'm just going to quit. I don't need this. It's not accomplishing anything. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. There are so many things that can go through your mind to cause you to quit. Maybe you're right there now. Maybe you signed up for prime time. It's only been going on 1 week. Maybe in the second week you'll quit. Maybe you're part of a small group and you've started it, but after a few weeks, for whatever reason, you're thinking about quitting. Maybe you are involved in Life Journal that we passed out a few weeks ago. You started, and it's only January 20th, but you're already behind in the reading, and you kind of want to quit. There's a temptation to want to quit. Instead of adjusting your schedule, it's just easier to quit. You know, defeat will never disqualify you, but quitting will. You may be defeated, but as long as you keep getting up, God will give you a brand new plan. Wherever you find yourself in life, get up again, and He'll give you a brand new plan. Okay, well, it's no surprise to me. I knew you were going to do it, but now that you're over here, let's plot a new course. Defeat will never keep you from finishing, but if you quit, it will disqualify, and you will never finish. Maybe it's a relationship that you have. Maybe it's a marriage that you're in. There's a temptation at some point. Maybe it's a dream that God spoke to you and gave to you, and you've been pursuing it, but there's something now that has caused you to think about quitting and giving up on that. There's lots of different things that can cause you to quit. Let me list four of them for you. Number one, we can get discouraged. Anybody ever wrestled with discouragement? It's a kind of a cousin to a depression. Despondency.
It talks about giving up. It says, don't give up. He said, yeah, that's it. In verse 1, that they should always pray and not give up.
When you read different translations of the Bible, you get different words. Like the King James Version says, you should always pray and never faint. The New American Standard Version says you should always pray and never lose heart. The NIV version says you should never give up. The reason that we need all of these words is because there's no one English word that can speak from this Greek word. And he's saying it's not just a decision that we make to give up. Something's causing us to give up, and it's found in the emotional part of us. Something emotionally disturbs us and upsets us, and when we are thrown in our emotions, we oftentimes will make a decision practically to quit certain things, and it may not be the best thing that we could do. I've often told people who are in the midst of crisis, don't make any major decisions until we get through the crisis. Let's get through the emotional period before we make decisions, because if you make a decision now, you'll probably make the wrong decision. I think I've listed it in your notes, but it's when you will be more prone to quit and give up when you're governed by your emotions. You must take your emotions under subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people quit, number two in your notes, because they're disenchanted. You get disenchanted. The meaning of disenchantment means the loss of happiness or satisfaction with something. They've lost their enthusiasm for something. They get disenchanted. Things aren't working out the way that I thought they would. Things aren't going the way I want them to go. You know, we live in a day and age where people really pursue, because we're in a consumer society, and even in the Christian world, there's a consumer society. We just go until we find out what we want. And the question really isn't, what does God want from me? It's really, what do I want? What do I want to hear? What do I want to have done? What do I want to see happen? It's what I want, not what God wants. And it's a dangerous time to live in, because the enemy has so many tactics that can deceive us. I think of the me-ism gospel that's preached today, and actually it causes fear in my heart. And not really necessarily even for those who are mature, but for those who are growing. The me-ism gospel, it sounds almost the same as the real gospel, but the whole message, it revolves around man and has God fit into their life instead of, no, this book is all about God and how does man fit into His plan. You see, and sometimes that doesn't make you happy. Disenchantment means you lose your happiness. I'll tell you, doing God's will doesn't always make you happy. Sometimes it makes you sad. Sometimes it makes you mad. Sometimes it makes you glad.
I made a decision years ago. I can't tell you how many years ago, but I'm thinking over a decade now. And I says, God, from this point on, I'm not looking for happiness. I'm looking, God, to be a man of God. Make me a man of God. And do you know, when you make a decision, I want to be a woman of God, I want to be a man of God. When you make that decision, everything that happens to you in life contributes to that taking place. The good and the bad. When I go through the tough stuff, all of a sudden God builds character in me. And so in the midst of darkness, I can say, thank you, Jesus, I praise you, not for what's going on, but because I know you're doing something of an eternal work in me. Anthony Costa's father passed away this past week, and you're going to be praying for the family. I'll be doing the graveside on Wednesday at 10:30, and I just felt the scripture that talked, the scripture that I'm supposed to read has to do with Paul getting knocked down, but he gets up again. He says, I've gone through a lot of tribulation, but there's an eternal work of life that's happening inside of me, so he could give praise in the midst of darkness. So don't, you'll be more prone to give up. And I think I put this in your notes as well. If you make happiness your main goal, you've got to change that goal. Sometimes, and I won't make too many comments, I'll just say that sometimes we haven't taken care of ourselves and we get exhausted. You know. Listen, you got to have some time for fun. You got to have some time for outside activities. You just can't, even a worldly little statement, what was it? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. You've got to have the whole spectrum of life, and sometimes we get so busy doing, and it can be even busy doing God's work, we don't even have time to eat, we don't have time to sleep, we don't have any time to do what's really necessary to be done. Listen to what Elijah said. While he himself went on a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree and he sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. Has anybody ever done that? Take me home, God. I'm ready. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And at once an angel touched him and he said, get up and eat. Get up. What he needed to do was something practical. You know, sometimes we can be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And he says, you need to eat something. You'll be more prone to quit if you don't take care of yourself. And the last reason that came to me, and if I'd have wanted to, and I'm sure you could come up with dozens of other reasons why people quit, but I see today many people quitting because of a time delay. It's just not happening as fast as I want it to. I've been praying for 3 weeks for something that hasn't happened. I forget it. This thing called prayer doesn't work. What Abraham and Sarah, man, they had to wait for a dozen years or so for the answer. But they kept pursuing. You know why God's so slow? It's because he's waiting for you. He's waiting for me. That's why he's so slow. It's not because he doesn't care. He can move faster. He's not just wanting to answer your prayer. He's wanting to do something in you and me along the way. And that's what takes time. It's easy to change the external. It's more difficult to change the internal. And that takes time and commitment. That's why we have to keep praying. Listen to what Peter says, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. That's just another way of saying you're slow. He does not want anyone to perish, so he's giving more time for everyone to repent. Give some perspective. He's coming back soon. Well, they said that 2,000 years ago. Why are you so slow? I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want everyone to be into my family. Well, what is? Can I add one other one? This isn't in your notes, but this is for free. You don't have to charge. I'm not charging you for anything. Not going to take a special offering. Just for free. I think some people quit. This one came to me this morning. I think some people quit because they have a promise of something that's better out there. It's almost like that little phrase, the grass is greener on the other side. And then you find out it's AstroTurf. It's like, that's another joke right there. That's two this morning, okay? Sometimes we quit doing what we're doing because we buy into this lie that there's something really better out there for us. And oftentimes it's a temptation that comes straight from the enemy. I don't know if any of you like camping, but I'm not a camper. If I had time, which I don't, and you could say thank you, Jesus, I could tell you about my camping experience. There were two times. That was it. Done camping. In the middle of the night when you got a river, when it's raining so hard, you got a river in the middle of your tent right there, and it's cold. And you're camped at a site where the dirt is not just dirt, it's dirt where your kids just touch it and they're just totally mud. Not me. When you go, when you put that tent up the second time and the wind blows it over in the middle of the night, done. No camping. I can remember wanting to see a bear. You know, you go out in the woods, you want to see a bear. Then there's a half of me that doesn't want to see a bear. Because part of you says, I don't want to be eaten for lunch, I'd rather eat lunch. And there's this going back. But the people that have been on camping expeditions, then they've seen bears, and I've even seen news clips of this. The bears will come into the camp, and what they do is they get up on the, they'll break windows. If there's trash cans, they'll get up and jump. They're looking through the garbage for food. And sometimes what we do is we turn from God to garbage because we've been promised that, man, if we eat over here, we'll really get some sort of real joy and peace. And all it does is when we start eating from the garbage can. Now see, garbage cans might be okay for bears, but they aren't okay for children of God. Because what happens when you start eating some garbage, and maybe some of you have been turned into the garbage can recently. Maybe you've been watching some television, or maybe on the internet, or maybe in some magazines, or maybe in this or that area. I last night listened to too much garbage. I love comedy. I really do. I love comedy. I wanted to be a comedian in the early years of my life. That was my goal. I think I'd have more jokes if I really wanted to be a comedian. Huh? And I listened to this guy last night, and I mean, I'm going to tell you his name is Lewis Black, and if you've heard that name, then great. If you haven't, I don't have anything disparagingly to say about him. I'm just saying that I watched it because it came on about 7 o'clock. I thought, oh well, usually the trashy stuff comes on about 9 or 10, so I don't usually watch that. But on this time, I thought, hey, this might be good, so I just started to watch it, and my wife was there, and it's not like it was, and it's not like I was going to go out and do something vile after. But, there were so many words. The F word was used probably, 100 times in the first, 10 minutes. And I watched about 10 minutes of it. And that was about 9 minutes too much. And I'm not saying that to say that he's a bad person. I'm just saying that was garbage for me. And on Saturday night when I'm thinking about Sunday morning, or on Monday night when I'm thinking about Tuesday, it doesn't matter what day it is, when I'm thinking about doing God's will, I don't need to be turning to garbage for some sort of recreation. I need to keep turning to God. But there's a promise somehow that we believe that if I turn to these things that have so much, and usually they come wrapped in entertainment. They come wrapped in excitement. They come wrapped in all of these things that everybody is into it, and it's kind of like it's hard to say no to those things, but when you buy into that promise, you really get sick. And when you get sick, you get weak. And when you get weak, you want to quit. See, that's what happens. God made you eagles. You may have been a dog when you came to Christ, but when you now you're an eagle. And you begin to soar around, and you look down, and you see some dog food, and it reminds you of the past. So you sweep down, and you eat the dog food, and what happens? You get sick. See, God's heart isn't, you better not eat that dog food. His heart is, man, don't eat the dog food, because if you do, you're going to get sick. And if you get sick, you're going to get weak. And if you get weak, you're going to want to quit. If you are always down, if you seem to be discouraged, if you seem to be under things, maybe you need to check your diet. See what you're eating, because it could very well be that that's causing some of the problems that's happening and the desire to quit. Well, this woman, I'll tell you, if she had any justification for quitting, I'll tell you, she's got it all. She has every reason to be discouraged and disenchanted. She has every reason to quit, but she didn't. First of all, she was a woman, and in that day, women had very little rights, if any. Second of all, she was a widow. No one stood up for her. Her husband was gone. Who could have stood up in court? Thirdly, most widows, and I'm assuming that she was very, very poor and didn't have the finances. If anybody had a reason to quit, she had a reason to quit. But she didn't, and what happened? It paid off. The judge changed his mind. Her persistence turned to praise. Her persistence turned the judge's mind, and he had a conviction. He turned and he helped her out. It paid off. It caused praise. All of a sudden now, because he started to deal with it, the situation, her joy was returned. Her hope was returned. She could experience life again. Never, never quit. If she had quit, she never would have seen justice. If she had quit, she never would have seen justice come forth. A lot of times people quit right on the 1 yard line. Have you ever found that to be true? You know, you've stood there and you've persevered. I've seen it time and time again. It's almost like you're running this race. I'm kind of thinking football because this afternoon a few teams are playing I've got appointments all the way through 3 o'clock, so I won't be able to see them. So I'm taping them, so please don't tell me the scores or all of it. But I'm thinking in football terms, and I see so many people running through life, and they get right to the 1 yard line, and they just can't see the goal line, and so they quit running the 1 yard line. You know, oftentimes, you need to remember this, that just before the breakthrough, it's almost the darkest dark that comes. Enemy throws everything he has at you, and that doesn't mean that things are going south. It means that you're just about ready to break into the new area. You cannot give up, or you'll never see. Last week in my life journal, what time is it? Last week in my life journal, I was reading through Genesis, and I came across a verse, and the study was revolving around Jacob and Esau. They were two brothers, if you remember that story, and Jacob was the younger brother, and he ripped off his older brother. He actually, through deception, got his inheritance. And it ticked his older brother off, Esau, and Esau said, "When my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother." I mean, you know, if you've ever been around families when a death takes place and there's a squabble about finances and money and who gets what, I'm telling you, there can be some pretty serious fights that take place. You really begin to see the real character of a person when money comes up. That's why these classes, financial peace, are so important for us to partake of. Well, this friction and this deception caused a break in the family, and Jacob left home. Now, we're not told how long, but it had to at least be 10 to 15 years he hasn't seen his brother, and he's gone away. And in this chapter that I was reading, he comes back, and he feels like God wants to restore the relationship. He's being obedient, and he's walking, and he's going to restore this relationship with his brother. And he comes up with this idea. He says, "I'm going to send all my servants. Go out, and I want you to meet Esau, and I want you to tell him I'm rich, and I want you to tell him I've been with Laban, and all of these things, and I want you to give him some cows, and I want you to give him some sheep, and I want you to give him all of these gifts." And his hope was that he'd not kill him. And so they did all this, and the messengers came back, and Jacob said, what did he say? And the verse that I wrote down, the verse says, "When the messengers returned, they said, 'Your brother is coming to you with 400 men.'" "What about the gifts? What about this?" That's all they said. He didn't say anything. He just, "Your brother's coming to you with 400 men." And so my observation, and in this life journal we're doing SOAP, S-O-A-P, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And so my observation, and this is probably not as good as yours, but it's this. A statement can scare the EBGBs out of you and make you run in the opposite direction. I spelled EB, E-B-E / G-B-E-E-S. I've never been a great speller. I'll tell you, when you hear certain things, it can scare the EBGBs out of you and cause you to want to quit pursuing what you were pursuing. I thought God wanted me to be restored, but now I'm not sure. I've got to run now, and so I changed directions. But he didn't quit. And if you keep reading, as I read, and I got another verse in chapter 33:10, it says, "When I look at you," after they were restored and they embraced, Jacob says, "to see your face is like seeing the face of God." He would never have experienced that if he quit. I'll tell you, what do you and I miss when we quit? What do we miss when we give up, when we don't hang in there? What does really happen? Now, I'm going to change gears because, and I want you to follow me now, in verse 6. This, everything turns on this. And if you don't get this, you'll miss the whole parable. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust said. No, unjust judge just said. We've just talked about him. We've talked about the widow. And now he says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? What you've got to see in this parable is that there's a contrast. If you don't see this, you're going to miss the whole point of the parable. Because it's really not about a widow. It's really not about a judge. It's about the almighty judge of the world who is not like this judge. And he says, man, if this guy will yield to pressure of a woman in this day and age, how much more can you depend upon me? I do care about you. I do love you. I've given myself to you. Doesn't Romans say that? Doesn't Romans say, while you were yet sinners, I gave my life for you? Does 1 Peter not say, cast your cares upon me, I care for you? I mean, this judge says, I don't give a rip about God. I don't care about you. I don't care what you think. I'm my own man. I'll do what I want to do. God says, I'm not like that at all. Every decision I make as your God has you in mind. So what it means to be the apple of his eye, I tell you, can you believe that? That when God makes decisions as if we were something, he actually says, you're valuable to me. And I'm making decisions, and I'm going to consider you when I make this decision because I want the best for you. It's just like those New Testament contrasts that talk about, hey, consider the lilies in Luke chapter 12. Man, when you look at the birds and the lilies of the field, man, I provide for them. How much more will I provide for you? You're my kids. You're more valuable than lilies, and you're more valuable than birds. See, that's a contrast. Look at Matthew chapter 7. He says, he's talking to the disciples. He says, man, if you as parents who are evil and sinful, if you know how to give good gifts to men, how much more will I give you good gifts? See, the contrast is what's important. He's saying in this parable to us, never stop praying because I'm not a judge like that. I'm concerned for you. I hear you when you pray. I want to help you. I can help you. I will help you. And it may not be on your time schedule, but it will be quick as it can be done, it will be done. See, when you and I start praying, it doesn't mean that, well, we got to pray and we got to pressure God, we got to convince him that it's right. No, the moment you start praying, he starts answering. But sometimes those answers take a while, and you can read in the book of Daniel, he started praying too. But it took some time to deal with the spiritual forces that we can't see so that God could accomplish what he wanted to accomplish in us. So when I start praying, it's not like, okay, I'll pray and pray and pray, just wait for him to do something. No, he is doing something every time you pray. Every time you lift your voice on high, he is starting to activate his plan for your life. Always pray, never give up. Never give up what? Well, never give up pursuing justice. Never give up on your kids. Never give up on pursuing love. But never give up on praying. Never give up on appealing to the Most High, because he is the highest of all authorities. When he says something will happen, it'll happen. You can struggle and you can strive, and in your flesh you can try to make something happen. And some powerful people can make certain things happen. But I'll tell you, the ultimate answer comes from the living God. If I'm going to appeal to anybody, it's not going to be someone in authority here. It's going to be the highest authority, and that's what he's saying. Never give up. The truth is, as you pray, it helps you in your emotional being so that you don't want to give up. That's why he says, pray so that you won't lose heart. Pray so that you won't give up. Pray so that you won't faint. It's actually in communion with God that you receive strength to keep going. Praying may or may not help you, but talking with God will always help you. I tell you, some people pray prayers. Pharisees prayed some wonderful prayers. It's not the act of praying. It's actually communing and talking with the living God. When you talk to him, something happens. I want to conclude with you by giving what I feel is a prophetic word for some people here today. For some people here, he says this. He says, I want you to know that the book is not over yet. Just like a fight, there's 15 rounds. There used to be 15 rounds to a championship fight. Maybe there's only 12 rounds now, I'm not sure. There's a number of rounds in a fight. You're not at the last round. I'm writing, you are my epistle. I'm writing it. The chapter is coming to end, but there's another chapter to follow. And here's what he says. And there's a surprise ending for you. There's a surprise ending. So whoever that's for, if it's one or two people, would you please hear that from the Lord today? He's saying to all of us, always pray, never give up. I want to show you some glorious things. Bible says ears hasn't heard, eyes haven't seen what God hasn't planned. But, and if you keep on keeping on, as we used to say in the 60s, you keep on trucking, I'm telling you, you're going to see. And if you quit, you'll never see the glory of the living God. But he says to some of you, he says, I'm writing a book, you're my book, and it's not over yet. There's another chapter that's coming, and there's a surprise ending, and it's good. There's another group of people. He says, the book is over. There's a book that's been written in your life, and it's over. It doesn't mean you're going to die, but your life is over, and now there's a sequel. Now there's another story that he's about to begin. Will you not continue to pursue God so that you can see the finish of that story? It is going to be glorious. God always finishes with a bang. Always finishes with a bang. The world didn't start with a bang theory, I'll tell you that. It started with the living God who created the world, but he always ends with a bang. You think the 4th of July? I was sitting in Washington, D.C. several years ago, and we were watching, and I'm telling you, that was the best display I'd ever seen. Once I was in Manhattan, New York, I saw another display that was tremendous, but at Washington, it was just fabulous. At the conclusion, everything went off. Tremendous. I'm telling you, there's nothing as glorious as the coming of the Lord. He's on his way back, church. He's on his way back. That ought to put a whole lot of hope into us. I hope maybe fear in some of us to get our acts together and get ready for the king who's coming for his bride. But he says, don't give up. And I hope you hear that this year, because I'm committed to grow and so are you. And you and I are going to be tempted with times, desires to quit. And let's not let it be said of us. Let's quote what old Vince Lombardi said, winners never quit, quitters never win. Stand with me, would you please? I'm going to ask the elders, their wives, prayer teams to come forward. What a marvelous day. I hope, hopefully you enjoyed yourself. I really enjoyed seeing baptisms today. We've been baptizing people for the last couple of years on fiesta nights, and we've had a congregation of 300 or 400, 200 or 300 every time we've done that. It's been wonderful, wonderful. And we did that because we felt like the Lord wanted that to be done. And this year, we really feel like the Lord wants us to do it on Sunday morning. So we'll be doing that. And I trust that you enjoyed that too. You know, Donna and Bruce, why don't you come down too? You mind doing that? So, it's a wonderful, wonderful day. And I want us to keep on keeping on. And hear the voice of Jesus who spoke this parable. His disciples didn't teach it. He spoke it. Parents, teach this to your kids. Man, this is right from Jesus' mouth. You know, teach your kids not to quit. Use this message to help them never quit. Well, why shouldn't I quit? Your God hears. Your God cares. Your God can. Your God will help you. You keep on coming on. Keep on going on. Some of you may be here today, and I don't know all of you. It's obvious. Maybe you've never quit because you've never started. Maybe you've never begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. What a day for you to not become a part of a religious organization, but to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads, and I just want to give you an opportunity. If that's you today, you've never really begun, so you can't quit. But you'd like to say, I want to begin today a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may not even know what that totally entails, but you're willing to step out in faith, and if you will, God will meet you. Just raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to give anything to the church. Yes, I see that hand. You just want yes, first time. You've not done this. You never, yes, yes, back there. Yes, over here. You've not made that. Man, what a day for you. What a day. Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of our past. Those who raise their hands, God, may this be a moment in time where transformation takes place. A seed is planted. It may be a while before that seed comes out, but let them know today that you love them. You've forgiven them. And now you introduce them into a brand new season of life. Let your spirit rest upon them, I pray. You know, those who raise your hands, when I dismiss, man, you need to come down forward just for about 4 or 5 minutes. Let us pray for you. Let us give you some material to send you on your way. The Bible says it's important for you to confess your faith. If you said, I want Jesus, I've never asked him into my life before, but I'm doing that today, you need to come down to someone and say, I confess that Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. And upon that confession, you will experience that salvation. Let that be so today. Everybody say amen. Amen to what has been declared today, and God bless you. Hug about 1,000 people before you leave. Say thank you to the nursery workers for taking care of your kids. If you raise your hands, please come down. If you need some prayer, we're more than willing to pray for you and assist you in your walk.